That's how we own it.
Thanks, Tamika, for everything that you've done, and I want to say that, like, I, you know, I see the way you move, and so that's why I put the APB out on you.
You did that. Everybody was calling me like, Tatiana Ali needs to talk to you. I got 3 texts, I got emails, I got phone calls, I got DMs on Twitter and Instagram.
I did. So in Sarasota, I got a chance to meet Saisha and Ty in person. I also got a chance to meet Baby Aset. Baby Aset's grandma, Ty's mom, Miss Elma McKay. It was a beautiful gathering of their community and the people in their community that have really been rallying around them and getting the message out. I also met other families from Kentucky, from Texas, from New York, from Alabama, who made their way, who were able to make their way over to be there, because for them, this was their first opportunity to speak on it in a more public way. They've been trying very much and nobody's answering their calls. Nobody's listening. It was a unity rally. It started with meditation. It started with quiet. And, you know, people's hearts are broken because they're longing for their children. And in many cases, they are the very space that they went to for help is where they were attacked and where they were victimized and where their children were taken or, you know, legally kidnapped. It was beautiful that all the families spoke. There was music. But one of the things that I said is, and it's true, what drew me into their story when it was sent to me by a friend was Amin Ra's eyes. They look like my baby's eyes. They're full of light. They're happy. They're joyful. You know how black babies, when we love on them, they're all nice and oiled and the hair is curled because they got the oils on them. You know, they got cocoa butter and shea and everything. And this is what this baby looks like. And
yeah.
And immediately, just from his face, from the light in his eyes, I thought, wait a minute, he is loved. What is going on here? Mm-hmm. And I recognize my sons in him and in all of the children whose pictures were up there. And, you know, wrong is wrong. I feel like if we are a village, you know, independent of how far we are by miles, and when you take our children, there has to be a response. They're without our children, we don't have anything. There are greatest, wildest dreams we can't even begin to conceive of. They are those things manifest in this world, and without them, we have nothing.
Amen.
This can't stand.
So can I want to ask you like a two-part question. First of all, for all of those, I think pretty much most people know what happened with the situation, but some people may not. So I want you to give like a brief synopsis about what happened. And then, you know, you talked about the rally and the people who were there and some of the stories. Can you like give us a couple of the stories? Because this, to me, this is mind-boggling. When I first seen this, I couldn't even believe this was happening. So
yeah, I think it's hard for a lot of people to understand, and it's hard for a lot of people to believe. And I'll share a little bit about what brought me to this work and why my baseline is maybe it's easier for me to believe. So I had an experience with the birth of my son, Asi. He's now 5, in the hospital. That was dreadful. It, you know, they did many things wrong and many things that are abusive. Like when I explain it to professionals, their jaws drop. the kind of physical things that were done to me. And it ended up with my baby being in the NICU for 5 days. And I had a very healthy pregnancy. There was no reason for him to be sick. But he was hurt during my delivery by members of the hospital. And that led me to shock. You know, we were traumatized and extremely shocked, especially during that first year. We didn't know what hit us. And it wasn't until I became pregnant with my second son, Alejandro, that we just were like, we can't. The hospital became a scary place. I need to find some other way. And I, in my search, found this, was welcomed actually by this incredible community of Black birth workers and Black midwives and doulas. I started working on a documentary that I'm still in the midst of. This working with Scientation have nothing to do with that, but I'm sorry, Scientation's I have nothing to do with that, but I started interviewing Black midwives and doulas. And I've heard many stories about their work preemptively trying to make sure that CPS, Child Protective Services, does not, you know, has trying to gather all of the information. They try to gather as much information during the pregnancy as they can so that if CPS comes, they're armed. You see what I'm saying? Because it happens so often, taking newborns away and then going after other children in the home. So I had a baseline of understanding that when I met virtually with Sai Jin Tai, I'd heard this before. It wasn't that brand new and it wasn't that far-fetched. And what often happens, this is also something that's common. Saisha went to, with lactation concerns, she was weaning raw. In the process of weaning raw, he was a breastfed, solely breastfed baby. And in the process of weaning, you know, anybody who's breastfed their children, I have too, it's an experience that I have. Either the hospital understands, truly understands lactation and really has lactation people there, or they don't. And in this case, you know, it's been brought to my attention that the lactation people in this hospital, this one woman in particular, is horrendous. And ultimately, they were there for 2 weeks. They wanted to give him a very high dose of vitamin B. Saisha recorded the moment when they actually came in to take him, to take Ra away. And she didn't even decline the offer for the vitamin B. What she said was, I want to consult with my husband. And because of COVID, he wasn't able to be there the whole time. He was actually on the phone. And you can hear her in her recording crying and saying, I'm not saying no. I want to consult. I want more information. Now, remember, she went to the hospital for help. So they're claiming medical neglect. But to claim medical neglect when you're asking for medical help, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And Manatee County, where they are, has a history. There was a USA Today article that they have a history of really doing terrible things to families and taking children out of loving homes. It's incredible that some of those same workers in CPS that are in these articles still have almost a rubber stamp in the county to take children away. Why they haven't been up for review, I don't know how many articles have to be written. There apparently is even a documentary in the works at a major, streaming outlet about these people, and they're not up for review, and they still have a rubber stamp even with this family. It's that's only part of their story. There's much more.
And then they came and took baby. I want to say it right. I keep saying
Aset.
Aset.
Yes, but it's spelled AST. She's named after a goddess. Yeah.
Right. So that's the piece. The only other part that I didn't hear.
Right. Right. So, baby Aset. Now, part of the reason Saisha was trying to wean baby Ra at the time she was because she was pregnant with Aset, and while she was pregnant, when they took, so she was going through all of this in a pregnancy, during a pregnancy. I believe Aset was born at home. They had a home birth, and they came and took her with no cause other than the fact that they had taken Ra. And that happens often as well. They took her at when she was six days old. Days old. In an incredible display of force.
Did you not feel anything? You guys, I'm human. This is my baby. My baby is days old. And you're taking my baby away from me. You're taking my baby away from me. You have no heart. This is so wrong.
Just give her a second. Can you give her a second?
Don't make it seem like I'm crazy, okay?
We support. This is normal.
You have children.
Sarah.
This is my baby.
They terrorize this family for days.
That's where most people get involved. Because what I mean by that, I'm talking about the general public.
Yes.
Because prior to that, you knew and others knew, and there were some folks advocating. But it was when they went live during the seizure, if you will.
Yes.
Of a child, of a newborn baby, that world saw it and said, what in the hell is happening?
So people know they had already, they said they were coming to take the baby. The lawyer that was dealing with Ra's case, Derek McBurrows, that this legal team, they're doing an incredible job.
Yeah.
They coordinated with CPS, with the agency. They knew they were bringing the baby to them, okay, to CPS. They knew they had to abide by this court order. And when they were on their way, that seizure happened. They already were on their way. It's just, and that part, the terror, the this sort of active chase, and consistent, nonstop, relentless policing of these families, that was a common theme in all the stories that were told.